In this sacred text, the Apostle John delivers a message he had learned directly from Jesus Christ. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. This declaration reveals God's holy character. Let me repeat that. In fact, I may wait till the outlines are finished. Okay, good. This is vital. God is light. He's not speaking to us in mystical terms as such. He is speaking ultimately about the purity and the holiness of God. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. John, after declaring this, begins the pastoral work of correcting several errors that apostates had been circulating among God's children. The first error John takes up appears in verse 6. Those who profess to be in fellowship with God, but who walk in darkness, are liars. Now that's harsh language on our ears today. But we need truth. Those who profess to be in fellowship with God, but who walk in darkness, are liars, who do not practice God's truth. To say one is in fellowship with his holy God, in whom there is no darkness at all, while continuing to walk in ungodliness, unrepentant sin, is not only a destructive lie, it's an impossibility. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Yes, Christians sin. Yes, Christians can fall into habits that they must struggle and wrestle to break and to be free of. But they will. They will go on in the battle. They'll keep on with the struggle. They won't be able to live in rebellion against their Lord. It will grieve them. It will break their hearts. And they will ultimately cast themselves upon the Lord. We've heard it prayed this evening. Therefore, verse 6 describes and exposes the religious hypocrite. Not the Christian struggling with his sin, but the person who announces his fellowship with God, but continues unrepentantly in wickedness. John then explains in verse 7, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. This is a description of the true Christian. He walks in the light. He's not perfect. But the fact that he's not perfect does not equal in his mind a license to live like hell. He walks in the light. He fellowships with God and his people. And he knows the cleansing blood of Christ. If it is true, as this passage says, that Christians really do fellowship with the Holy God of heaven, we face the perplexing issue. Christians sin. Everyone in here that is born of God's Spirit still sins. And as this passage declares, sin is darkness. This raises another question. If sin is darkness, how are Christians any different from the apostates mentioned in verse 6? What's the difference? If there is no darkness in God at all, how can Christians who still sin walk in the light? This is John's answer. The blood of Christ. the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus Christ is the reason believers may walk with a holy God. But how does this blood cleanse sinners? What connection does blood have with walking in the light? We want to consider these things briefly this evening. Our message is entitled, Christ's Blood Cleanses from Sin. May the Lord Jesus help us to understand the following. Christ's blood is a sacrifice. Christ's blood is a sacrifice. Number two, Christ's blood is different from animal blood. As a sacrifice, it is different from animal's blood. Number three, Christ's blood accomplishes His Father's purpose. It accomplishes His Father's purpose. Number four, Christ's blood continues to cleanse. It continues to cleanse. And number five, Christ's blood is sufficient for every sin. For every sin. Now, let's consider first that Christ's blood is a sacrifice. Blood, as I trust we all know and understand, is that warm crimson fluid that our hearts pump through our arteries and veins. It carries oxygen to and carbon dioxide from the tissues throughout our entire body. Throughout the scriptures, blood and life are inseparably joined. In the Old Testament, we find the Hebrew word that we translate blood approximately 360 times. Of this number, 203 references point to death and violence. And 103 refer to blood sacrifices. At least seven of these connect life with blood, such as Genesis 9:4, flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof. The overwhelming testimony of God's word is that blood poured out means death. This is crucial to the understanding of the idea of blood in Scripture. For whatever other uses it may have, what we need to understand is that blood poured out means death. God Himself declares the vital importance of blood in Leviticus 17:11. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your sins. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. Likewise, verse 14, for it is the life of all flesh. A bloodless being is a dead being. The blood of it is for the life thereof. The life of all flesh is the blood thereof. This makes three things abundantly clear. First, the sacrificial system was a gift of God's grace as a payment for sin and was not the invention of men. Secondly, the blood poured out meant the violent death of the sacrifice. Thirdly, the idea of atonement means, then, a payment for sin by the death of a sacrifice. The payment for sin by the death of a sacrifice. The word atonement, as I've said, means to cover. It means to make reconciliation. So the Old Testament sacrifices give us the undeniable link between the shedding of blood and the payment of sin. Sin is so defiling, so corrupt, so abominable, and so abhorrent that God must and will punish it by death. He told Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you will surely die. Paul tells us in the New Testament, for the wages of sin is death. There is death only because there is sin. Now, the Lord says in Ezekiel 18:20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It doesn't say might. It doesn't say probably, most likely. It says shall. And we die because God says shall. Everyone shall die for his own iniquity. Jeremiah 31:30. So the priest's act of pouring out the blood of a sacrifice was the declaration that the life of the sacrifice was ended for the cleansing of sin. The priest would pour out the blood. We often look at the rituals of the Old Testament. We don't make the connections. But the Old Testament, in types and shadows, was pointing to Christ. Was pointing to Christ. The blood poured out. The blood poured out. The violent death of the sacrifice. And not only a sacrifice, a substitutionary sacrifice. Some other being, some entity had to die because of my sins, or I would die in my sins. This is what the Old Testament was repeating. Every time the blood was poured out, sin, 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 death, 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 sin, death. And we die because of it. We die in our sins unless we are cleansed. The Old Testament and its sacrifices of shedding of blood proclaim that God is merciful. You often hear liberals and others say, oh, we don't want to talk about that old bloody religion. That bloody religion, we don't like that. Oh, blood. You are bloodthirsty people. First of all, they don't understand the horror of their sin nor the holiness of God. But they also don't understand in all that blood that they don't want to talk about the mercy, the grace, and the love of God. The violent death of the substitute is what covered the sins of the Old Testament saints. The wages of sin is death. And except a sinner find an acceptable substitute, he will die in his sins. That was true then. It is true now. It is true in this congregation. You are cleansed by the blood of Christ, or you are in your filthy sins, and you have nothing to expect but the judgment of God if you will not have His mercy. Secondly, Christ's blood is different from animal blood. The scripture tells us it's not possible for the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. God accepted it as a covering for sins. But that animal blood couldn't take away sins, as the text tells us. All of the Old Testament sacrifices simply pictured the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were types and shadows. God did not accept them because the blood itself was special, but it spoke of the sacrificial death for God's people. It was in their conscience that animal after animal, sacrifice after sacrifice, died so that they didn't die. Jesus is God the Father's great provision for the sins of His people. As the Old Testament sacrifices were a provision from God for His people, so Christ is the fulfillment of those things. We cannot exaggerate, then, the importance of Jesus Christ's blood. Why? Because of who He is. He's not an animal. He's not an ordinary, sinful human being. Fully God, fully man. The God-man. A real human being. 100% human being. Not a blood tainted by sin. Man sinned. The first Adam sinned. Jesus Christ, the second Adam, did not sin ever. And He therefore could be the substitute for man. You and I cannot stand in one another's place because we have our own sins defiling us. Christ had no sin. John takes great pains in the prologue of this epistle to declare and defend the incarnation of the Son of God. John heard, John saw, John handled that eternal life come in the flesh. God became man. And John was a witness to this extraordinary person. This is why every word of the phrase, "the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son," displays the most staggering fact in all of history. We can hear this, my brethren, and sometimes just in our dullness, we don't get it. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, God's Son. God doesn't have blood. God doesn't have blood. God is a spirit. God cannot die. Therefore, the incarnation is the central fact of the redemptive purpose of the living God. Jesus, the God-man, the Son of God, took on flesh so that He could do what God cannot do. So He could die. And die as the substitute for His people. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. The Son of God became the Son of Man in order to shed His blood for the cleansing of sinners. By declaring the glory of the incarnation, John takes the heresy of the apostates head on. John's point was not to say simply that blood was shed. He proclaimed that the Word of Life became man to accomplish the redemptive purpose of God. God could not, God cannot, God will never die. But His Son took on human nature so that He could. He died upon Calvary's cross, bearing all the sins of His people. Here's what we mean by bearing. God the Father hates sin, every sin. He does not let one go by in any human being. Jesus Christ, the substitute, received all of God's wrath and fury in His body and in His soul for the sins of His people. He paid the penalty in full. As His body was broken and the rivers of blood flowed down His body and down the cross onto the ground, that bloody religion was declaring the grace and mercy of God Almighty, the offended party. He satisfied His own justice by giving in our place His Son. So then consider very carefully with me. First, the extraordinary declaration, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. These are incredible words. Your only hope of eternal life rests in the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son. John is correcting the errors of the false teachers who are confusing the Lord's people. And in this one phrase, John draws the dividing line between the apostate religious hypocrites and the true children of God. The true children of God trust Christ. They trust Him daily to cleanse them. Now, do not misunderstand me. When the believer believes, the very first moment, all his sins are washed away. But our consciences are defiled by our continuing sin. And we come back to that fountain day after day, looking to its precious cleansing regarding our fellowship with our Lord. He's paid the price. We need to come and believe Him. Believe what He's done. It isn't as if I need to be cleansed all over again. But I need my conscience cleansed. And we look to that same blood we looked to the very first day. It's an extraordinary declaration. It's a declaration of life. The blood of Jesus Christ. Secondly, the blessed name of His Son, Jesus. It means Jehovah saves. Yahweh saves. Or even the salvation of Yahweh. And this very name speaks of our beloved Lord's humanity. Jesus was born of a virgin. Thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Jesus was in every way a man, but without sin. Christ was His title. And Christ His Son speaks of Jesus' deity. We have the beauty of the God-man set before us in His lovely name. Jesus the Christ. Consider the superiority of Christ's blood. This is what makes His blood so important. It was not just any blood. And it was certainly not the blood of bulls and goats, which could never take away sin. It was not the blood of sinful men. It is the blood of the Son of God. The blood that cleanses is the blood of the sinless Jesus. The fact that He is fully sinless man and eternal deity make His blood like no other. It was human blood. I'm not saying it was a different kind of blood. We don't want to get superstitious about His blood. But His blood poured out was the perfect sacrifice for sin. And it is the only remedy for man's sin. This is God's holy solution for the problem of His children's sins. It is the perfect sacrifice. John speaks of these false teachers who professed to fellowship with the Most Holy God, and yet they walked in darkness. They had a false Christ, and they had lives characterized by sin. However, we raised a question. What about the Christian? Doesn't he sin? Yes, he does. Yes, she does. It grieves the heart of a regenerate person to know that the remainders of sin still dwell in his or her flesh. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, so that he cannot do what he would. Nevertheless, his daily confidence is not in his ability to live perfectly. His daily assurance of being accepted, his daily assurance of being accepted to God is Christ's blood. You're not going to be more acceptable to God tomorrow because you read the Bible 15 more minutes. And you ought to make it an hour longer. But that won't cleanse you. It didn't cleanse you. It will never cleanse you. It is the blood of Christ, what he has shed on behalf of his people. Through this, their sins are blotted out. They're erased forever. Because he was the perfect sacrifice in their place. He died so that they might live. The blood poured out is the evidence of the violent death of the substitute. And that blood is why God's people can continue to walk with their God every day. The God who is light. Let us now consider quickly the blood accomplishes God the Father's purpose. Christ's blood accomplishes his Father's purpose. But what does the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, do? Well, I trust we've begun to understand that. Christ's blood cleanses sinners. And what a glorious thought. Sin is unclean. Sin is defiling. Sin is destructive. Sin is damning. Sin is filthy, but the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. In other words, in the records of heaven, our sins have been entirely blotted out because Jesus' blood was the penalty. His death was the penalty for every one of our sins, past and present and future. Amen. And quite obviously, when we use the word cleanse, it obviously points to something dirty. David cried out, "Wash me!" That's how a believer sounds when he understands his sins. Wash me! Cleanse me! Make me whiter than snow! If you're comfortable with your sins, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But this idea of cleansing also speaks of the sacrificial system. It has a sacrificial sense. For on that day shall the priest make an atonement for you to cleanse you, that ye may be clean from all your sins before the Lord. This was judicial cleansing. Now this is important. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, ratifies the new covenant. Christ's blood accomplishes his Father's purpose. It begins by ratifying the new covenant. Matthew 26:28. For this is my blood of the new testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Here, God's eternal purpose to shed the blood of his perfect and holy Son as a substitutionary sacrifice on behalf of his people comes to the light. When he says, this cup is, he's pointing to his blood. And that's what we remember when we have the Lord's Supper. He ratified the new covenant in his blood. He sealed it with his blood. He accomplished what God the Father wanted him to do. When Christ raised up that cup, he was ratifying the glories. He was ratifying the promises of the new covenant. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. How can he do that? Because of the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. He cleanses all the sins of all his people. Secondly, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, propitiates the Father. In a propitiation, you have a person who is offended. And number two, you have an offense. Number three, you have the payment of a penalty to turn that wrath or offense away. That's the idea. It's to satisfy justice. It's to turn away anger. Jesus was the propitiation. Who was offended? God the Father. What was the offense? Our sin. How was the sin dealt with? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. That's it. He propitiates the Father. He satisfies the Father. He was the sacrifice that turns away wrath. The sacrifice that... Brethren, do we not see the mercy again of God? He gave the old covenant system of sacrifice. In the new covenant, the offended God turns his own wrath away. How? The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. The blood of Jesus, his Son, redeems. He hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption. We are bought back. We are purchased through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, washes. We praise the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us goes up the praise and washed us from our sins in his own blood. You have no hope tonight but the blood of Jesus Christ. Your sins will not be pardoned for any other reason. There is no basis for the pardon of any sin in any human being but the blood of Christ, the Son of God. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, reconciles and brings peace. Having made peace, writes Paul, through the blood of his cross. Peace, what are we talking about? Before we are converted, before we are cleansed, we are the enemies of God. And he's our enemy. How amazing that we could have an enemy in holiness that could love us so that he would pay the penalty for our sins. He reached down into his greatest treasures, and what he brought up was his holy and darling Son. And that's what he gave, so that there would be peace between us. What kept God and us apart? Our sin. What was the war about? Our sin. Why were we filthy and hateful? Our sin. And what did God do? He gave the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that makes peace. We're at peace with God. We're at peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, gives us then entrance into the presence of God. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Every single child of God here today, weak and feeble as he or she may be, this very evening can walk into the presence of Almighty God, cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We have an Brethren, we have entrance. Do you understand this? This is serious. I hear Christians moaning all the time, this and that and the other. Get up and go into God's presence. Well, I'm filthy and sinful. Yes! We know that. This is not news. It's not news to us. It's not news to heaven. God shed the Son, the blood of His Son, that you may come boldly into His presence and say, I need help today. Boldly! Not because of you, not because you prayed harder, not because you read the Bible more carefully, but because of the blood of God's Son. Your entrance is always because of the cleansing we receive through Jesus Christ. So get in His presence. Go pray. Pray boldly. Pray about your sin. Pray about life. Pray about joy. Pray about glory, thanksgiving, and all those things. Have your heart sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Go in full assurance of faith because of the blood of Christ. Number four, Christ's blood continues to cleanse. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. The tense indicates that His blood continually cleanses. It isn't cleansed, it cleanses. We're always cleansed by the blood of Christ. It is true. Yes, He completed, He finished the work. It was all paid for. It was all done. We believe and we're washed and cleansed. But as we walk in fellowship with our God day by day, as we experience the weakness of our mind, of our tongue, of our flesh, we come to a clear sense of our sins. Where do we run? Not to the rosary. Where do we run? Not to our buddies. Say, help. You go to them and say, pray for me. That's great. Not to your religion. Not to your religious works. Not to the saints. You run to Christ. Run not away from Christ. Sin makes us want to run like Adam. When we sin before God, I mean, admit it. You don't feel like going to God. When you sin, you want to go hide and put on the fig leaves. That's not what He wants you to do. He put His Son upon the cross. He poured out His blood that you would be cleansed and continually cleansed, constantly, always looking to Him. Brethren, when was the last time you praised and thanked God for the blood of His Son? If it's been a while, it might be why your struggles are what they are. If you understand what God has done, you can understand why you can come into His presence with your failures now. Sin against light is serious sin. But the blood of Christ is greater than all our sin. This is not a license to sin. It's one of the very things that should help cure our sin. Look what my sin caused. The blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Finally, Christ's blood is sufficient for every sin. The very verse that we've looked at is just clear and plain. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. These last two words are among the most important and the most precious for the sin-sick soul in all of Scripture. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. All sin. Not just a few, not most of them. But every kind of every sin. If one sin remained, we would still be unclean. Remember, he washes his bride with the washing of the water of the word so that she may be a spotless bride. Jesus wants a clean bride. And so he shed his blood for his precious bride. My brethren, one of the most beautiful and one of the most brief statements in Scripture is the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us, cleanseth continuous from all sin. That's our hope today. That's how Christians continue to walk with a God who is light and in whom there is no darkness. We must ever look to the blood of Christ for our righteous standing before the throne. As Christians, we do all we can to walk with God in ways that bring Him glory, but to our great frustration and disappointment, we find the remainders of sin still dwelling in us. Satan comes to us and whispers, "Why are you no? Why, look at you. You're no Christian at all. Look at yourself. Look at your sin. Look at your filth. Look at your guilt. What can we do?" We say, "Right. My sin looks unchristian. Right. Apart from Christ, I'm sinful, filthy, and guilty." But for all your whispering, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth me from all unrighteousness, from every sin. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You don't resist it in your own strength. Your greatest weapons is to stand knowing that you are cleansed in the blood of Christ. So, that's where your soul finds rest, my dear brethren. The blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses our filth. We are clean and we stand before our God in robes of righteousness, clean and white. The very righteousness of Christ, ours through the purchase price, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son. Let us look to Christ and live. If you do not know him, look. You're still in your filth. Look. Look to him. And if you are his, look to Christ. Look to him for your cleansing at all times. For he is glorious, faithful, and his blood makes the foulest clean. Amen. Seal these truths to our hearts, O righteous God. Amen.